first of all, just tell me, what's at the core of this? What's the core principle behind Action for Happiness?
The basic idea is that if we want a happier society, individuals are going to have to aim at that as a major purpose in their lives. They're going to have to be trying to create more happiness in the world and less misery. So that is the pledge which we're asking members to take. And what we're hoping is that millions of people eventually around the world will form Action for Happiness groups that will put this pledge into action in all kinds of different ways, whatever makes most sense for them, at work, in the community, at home, or just in their very private lives. And we're providing them with the tools to do this in our website at actionforhappiness.org, which draws on the new science of happiness, which is so helpful in telling us what really does matter and what doesn't.
This is the really difficult question, of course. How do you define happiness?
Happiness is feeling good and wanting to go on feeling that way, and unhappiness is feeling bad and wanting to feel different.
Really, is it that simple?
Yeah.
I mean,
but, yeah.
But over what period of time? Because, I mean, you can make yourself feel happy by having a drink or whatever, you know. I mean,
yes. No, over, of course, the whole of ultimately your life, but over an extended period of time. So we're not really interested in how people can have short-term highs, how to think of a short-term low as the end of the world. Not at all. We're interested in how people can have a really good quality of life on average over an extended period in their lives.
So, the emphasis is on the word action, you know, the things that people can do. Practically, then, what are you suggesting people need to start doing to be happier?
Well, we've got 50 actions, and I won't tell you all of those. But they're things like strategies for promoting more happiness at the place where you work, strategies for making yourself feel better, thinking of three good things that happened in the day, or learning how to meditate, or if you're in serious depression, having access to computerized cognitive behavioral therapy, or at the other end of the spectrum, engaging in political action to get your council to give more priority to eliminating the pockets of misery in their borough.
So we've just done this experiment. You know, we were down at a coffee shop in central London. Vanessa from your organisation bought a coffee for the first person in the queue. Now, he then reciprocated and bought a coffee for the lady behind him. She then offered to buy one for the person behind her, and he said no. Because when we spoke to all of them afterwards, there was a sense that I wondered why he was doing this. I wondered what the catch was. I wondered what he wanted. That's the problem, isn't it, with all
this?
Well,
I think that one of the real problems it has been the decline of trust in our society. There's a very interesting question. Do you think most other people can be trusted? Which has been asked in surveys for very many years. 40 years ago, nearly two-thirds of people said yes, they thought most other people can be trusted. Now it's under a third. I mean, there has been a serious decline of trust in our society. And we know by comparing societies that the happiest societies are ones in which there are higher levels of trust, such as the countries in Scandinavia.
But some people will listen to that kind of thing and think, well, this is all very liberal, but it's a bit wishy-washy, it doesn't relate to my life. And actually, there are some people out there you can't trust.
There are, but we're trying to change society and by making people feel that they ought to be trustworthy and feeling uncomfortable with themselves if they're not. So you could say we're building on a very long political tradition, going back to Aristotle, where you are trying to bring people up to think that their role in life is to contribute to the happiness of the society in which they live, and that is what will give them pleasure. This is not a hair shirt philosophy. I think one of the real problems with many attempts, if you like, at a moral revival are based on a sort of hair shirt and don't rather than do. We're saying do give and expect to get pleasure from giving of yourself to other people.
Do you think some people might find this a bit patronising?
Well, I'm quite sure they will. Some people don't want to talk about these questions, but I think really what is out there in very many thousands, if not millions of people, is a hunger for people to talk about what really matters. I think that too many people have been embarrassed to talk about what really matters, and